In early May, FDA published the Pre-Harvest Agricultural Water Final Rule. Although the full rule is more than 70 pages long in the Federal Register, the key point to remember is that the rule focuses on the execution and results of a risk assessment to drive your compliance and any corrective action. I'm your TAG Talks host, Lisa Lupo, and today I have with me TAG Manager of Food Safety, Dr. Angela Ferrelli Gruber, to discuss this and other critical components of the newly finalized rule. With a PhD in plant science, Angela has worked with the University of Maryland Produce Safety Extension, developed education and performed on-farm research, and is a lead trainer on the FSMA Produce Safety Rule. Welcome, Angela.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me today.
Always fun to have you on these. So, as stated in the introduction, a key component of the Ag Water Rule is an agricultural water system assessment. So, what's the purpose of this and who's subject to it?
So, who's subject to it? The folks who are, number one, required to follow the regulations set forth in the Produce Safety Rule. From those folks who are required to follow the produce safety rule, those folks who are using pre-harvest agricultural water. So those are people who are using water that directly contacts the edible portion of the crop during growing activities, including things like overhead irrigation and some types of subsurface drip irrigation of root crops. And then thirdly, right, you are subject to this unless you can claim an exemption. And exemptions from this include situations like if you have public water from a source and the quality doesn't change between the source and when you are using that water. So if you can't claim an exemption and you're subject to the produce safety rule, you're using agricultural water for pre-harvest activities, this applies to you.
Okay. So what is involved in conducting the assessment and how frequently must it be done?
So the assessment is comprised of, it's kind of running, it runs like a risk assessment, right? So it's comprised of evaluating factors related to the water source and how you use that water source on your crops that are subject to the produce safety rule. Information from this assessment will guide you in determining appropriate outcomes, which are either immediately discontinuing use, performing corrective measures, performing mitigation measures, or simply continuing your good agricultural practices to protect your water source. This assessment is done to give confidence that we're protecting our crops from significant food safety risks and that we're using water of adequate sanitary quality. The factors that we use in this assessment are information about the following: the water source. So if it's groundwater, if it's surface water, if the distribution system and the source is open or closed, the activity on adjacent land, so animal activity or other activity that can contaminate the water source. So any risky activities that your neighbors are doing or upstream from you, the application method of the irrigation or other sort of water use that you are using this agricultural water for, the crop characteristics. So, is it a crop that grows on the ground? Is it a netted melon? Are we talking about staked tomatoes? Are we talking about berry crops? The environment. So that includes the environment, air temperature, the prevalence and severity of certain extreme weather events, and then also other factors that you determine is appropriate to be included in this assessment. And for example, this can include water testing for generic E. coli in most
Okay.
cases. So the frequency question that you asked, so the frequency is you want to complete this assessment at least annually. And when you have a significant change in your agricultural water that might increase your hazard profile for that water. So that means for situations like you, when you perform your assessment first, your neighbors aren't doing anything on adjacent lands. And then halfway through the season, neighbor A decides to get like a herd of hogs and they're really close to where your water source is. You would really want to redo that ag water assessment, because things have changed.
Okay, so I'm a farmer and I finished the assessment and I determined the outcomes. Now what do I do?
Yeah, sure. So depending on what outcomes are determined, you might be required to act. So, number one, if you determine that the ag water is not safe, or of adequate sanitary quality, you must immediately discontinue use and take corrective measures before you resume use of that water. So that can include things like reinspecting the system, performing actions to fix problems, or treating the water in accordance with the requirements of the produce safety rule. If you determine that there are hazards related to animal activity, like untreated animal-based fertilizers or biological soil amendments of animal origin, BSAAOs, or improperly treated human waste. If there are some hazards in the assessment related to those things, the outcomes will be implementing a mitigation measure within the same growing season. And then if you determine that there are some hazards present, but they're not related to what I just outlined, you still need to implement mitigation measures, but this time the timeline's different, right? So these mitigation measures need to be implemented by the date of next year's ag water assessment or by the time you do a reassessment. You can also use water tests here in this third sort of situation when you're identifying hazards and they're not related to BSAAOs or improperly treated human waste. So you can use some tests to help you determine what mitigation measures are appropriate as long as those tests don't delay public health decisions. So the mitigation measures include treating the water similarly to that corrective measure that I talked about when if you're in a situation where you determine that the water is not safe, right? So you can treat the water here as well. As a mitigation measure, you can change the water delivery method in some cases to change the hazard profile. So going from overhead to a drip irrigation for some crops that will definitely be helpful in reducing risk. You can make repairs to the system. You can increase the time between the last water application and when you harvest to allow for die-off or something else that is supported by scientific data. The FDA does mention, though, that in all of your corrective measures and your mitigation measures that you take, you have to verify, and that could be visual verification or other methods. Some of those verification methods are based on what activity you do, right? But you have to make sure that the changes are effective.
Okay. So this wasn't the first version of an ag water rule that FDA attempted either. They had water provisions in the final produce safety rule of 2015. They proposed a rule focused specifically on the ag water, and finally, they put out this final rule in May. So why have there been so many changes?
So, in short, there were some scientific concerns as well as concerns from the farming community that the prescriptive requirement that was proposed in the beginning, and that prescriptive requirement was for generic E. coli-based quality criteria of your agricultural pre-harvest water, including the amount of samples that were to be taken, might not have been the best one-size-fits-all measurement or approach to safeguard, the safety of all types of agricultural water. So this approach provides a more risk assessment flexible sort of methodology that, in addition to being more tunable to the different types of ag water that we have for folks who are subject to the produce safety rule, I also would say that done right, this is a really robust way that someone can manage their pre-harvest agricultural water safety
That's
and
great.
quality.
Yeah. So, given all that, though, can you detail some of the key differences between the final rule and the original provisions of the first produce safety rule, as well as the proposed ag water rule?
So compared to what farmers, if you went to a PSA training in 2015 versus what is the requirement now? So back in 2015, if you remember, there was a compulsory generic E. coli water quality parameter with a geometric mean and statistical variance measure that was required of you if you were using pre-harvest agricultural water. That is not compulsory anymore. There is an addition of this written agricultural water system assessment with specific factors considered and outcomes, and for some in some cases timelines outlined for some of these measures to be taken, as I mentioned before. And those are the two big ones. What's different between what the FDA proposed in 2022 as a change and what's now the final rule? There's a few just teeny weeny tweaks. So the one of them is there's an addition to the exemptions from needing to create an agricultural water system assessment. So in addition, when they proposed it in 2022, they had said that if you have public water, you could potentially apply for an exemption. And in this final rule, they said, okay, you need to have, it's one of the exemptions that you could take is you have to have public water, and that quality of the water cannot change from the source to when you're going to use it. So this accounts for potential situations where you might have a public water source, but for certain, you know, irrigation needs, you're pumping it into like an open pond or open, open sort of bin or whatever, right? So if at one point it becomes open, then you can no longer claim the public water exemption from needing an water assessment. The other two that are smaller changes is that the FDA removed a minimum 4-day requirement for the mitigation strategy of increasing the duration of time between last water application and harvest. So the final rule now doesn't make any minimum day statement and instead focuses on requiring scientifically valid information that's specific, you know, to your farm, or that you can justify that it's specific to your situation to inform what that die-off can be to reduce risk. And then the last one is the FDA also removed mention of commercial washing as an example to reduce pathogens in terms of mitigation strategies.
So that leaves a lot still in the rule, but what are some of the key things that haven't changed?
Okay, so things that have not changed is that number one, the definition of agricultural water has never changed. So what you learned when you first went to the PSA trainings, that holds true. Similarly, remember that we have requirements for water system inspections for pre-harvest and post-harvest water. Those have not changed. So those you will also be doing as an extra piece of information. The final rule on harvest and post-harvest water, that the issuance of this rule about pre-harvest water doesn't change anything about the issuance of the rule for harvest and post-harvest water. The final rule is out on those with enforcement discretion that has ended for large businesses in 2023, small businesses in January of 2024, and very small businesses of January 26, 2025. So if you have any questions about where you stand in terms of harvest and post-harvest water, feel free to reach out to us. Additionally, sprout water requirements have not changed from the issuance of this rule for pre-harvest ag water.
Okay. So when is compliance due, but what should those who are subject to the rule be doing now?
Yeah, of course. So compliance for large farms is next year, April 7th, 2025. Small farms is the following year on April 6th, 2026. And very small farms is April 5th, 2027. And the FDA has stated that they are going to continue their educate while they regulate approach. So that is good to hear. What we would recommend you do now, especially if you're a large farm, is to make it a point to get your team together and go through a draft assessment maybe a couple times this season to go through the motions of it, you know, see how you would assess the factors, what would trigger different outcomes, right? And then how you would plan, budget, and execute correction measures or mitigation measures, and how you would record those if needed to. Another thing to note is, you know, your workers are really helpful in this as just boots on the ground, being able to survey what the actual water system, you know, risks look like from a day-to-day basement and a day-to-day basis. And they should help you and they can help you inform items about those factors. So if you don't have, if you feel like you could work on your worker communication, now is a great time to do that for getting ready for the implementation of this part of the rule.
Okay. So there's been a lot of information that we've gone over in this session, but what would you see as the key takeaways that those who are subject to the rule really need to remember?
Okay, the key takeaways I would say are number one, figure out and remember if you are using pre-harvest agricultural water. Number two, this is a in its basis, right? It's a risk assessment. So you might be already doing some of this work to suffice some buyer requirements, some third-party audits. So look at what you're already doing and see what you can leverage for compliance to this rule. And then if you're already doing testing with generic E. coli, there's a good chance that you can continue doing so, and this will help your ag water assessment. Third-party audits might continue to require generic E. coli testing. Other than that, things to keep in mind is that TAG's always here for you if you need help developing your ag water system assessment or coming up with trigger points to reassess, or need help on figuring out when to, how to validate what you're thinking of in terms of mitigation measures, things like that.
Okay. Are there other areas that TAG can help clients with in this area?
Absolutely. Well, so I am a certified Produce Safety Alliance lead trainer. So if you need produce safety rule training, I can absolutely do that for you. We also do on boots on the ground assessments of your farm and pack house to see if, to help you figure out how to best align with the requirements of the rule. As I mentioned, we can help you develop that ag water system assessment. And train, the different folks that need to be trained on how to execute an assessment, how to look out for factors on the farm, and also how to execute and verify those corrective measures or mitigation measures.
All right. Thank you so much, Angela, for all your insights to this rule that seems rather complex, but if you follow all the step by step, it sounds like you can kind of get there without too much trouble. So I also want to thank our viewers and our listeners for being a part of TAG Talks. Be sure to follow us on YouTube, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform to stay updated on food industry trends and food safety best practices, both domestic and global. And if you have any thoughts on topics you'd like us to cover in TAG Talks Food Safety, be sure to put it in the comments. Thank you again, Angela.
Thank you.